And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. I have no idea what I was just about to say, but my mouth was just like, I'm gonna stop working right now. This week's episode, I have nothing written here. There will be me reading a lot because of stuff. And we're talking about post-Clone Wars. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
I did not have a good opening to any of that. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, you get to, it's like listening to an audiobook for you today.
Yeah, really, it's like listening to a podcast, basically.
Well,
there was no way I was going to read all this material.
Well, I did the work for you. Well, listeners, this week we are going to be covering post-Clone Wars material. So this is like legacy material, books that have come out, and everything like that. So that's what we're doing today. Yay, books. How are you, Chris?
Once again, I'm doing great.
You have a good week?
What's that?
You have a good week?
I had a decent week, yeah. I've been busy. I was down that week with my back, so I've been just like catching up on editing and trying to get everything all ahead of schedule, so when I go to Boston to DJ the Hair Metal Hero's wedding, that I'm all caught up on all my stuff.
I'm so excited for you, at least, because that sounds...
I just realized, well, they just dropped the whole season of Daredevil, the third season of Daredevil, which I really want to see, but I just don't have time to, like, watch anything that isn't homework. But I've got 20 hours on the bus between going to Boston and coming back, so I think I'm going to binge all of season 3 of Daredevil on my ride.
Did you see the new episode of Resistance?
I've seen the first three. I haven't seen 4 yet. That's the one that would have come out yesterday? Right? Yes,
that's
I have not seen that yet.
That's probably my favorite episode so far.
Did you say it's the best episode so far?
I said it's my favorite so far.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Because, like, the first episode was great because it was two episodes and it was introducing it. But then, like, episodes, like, 2 and 3 were kind of like, this is fun. It's character stuff. Yay, I like character stuff. But this one, it's like, plot!
Now, did they count episode 1 as just one episode or was it...
No, it's technically 2 episodes. So
they're up to 4 or 5 now.
Five.
Okay, so I still gotta watch 4 then.
That would have been the one with Elijah Wood.
I saw it on the torrents, but I thought it was just somebody putting up a fake 1 week ahead of time. Okay, so I got 2 episodes that I can watch tonight.
Yeah, last week's was called Fuel for the Fire, and this week's was called The High Tower. And I really liked The High Tower. I really did. I was just happy to actually have, like, actual plot. So, and I have my theory about who I think the spy is. I actually wrote a little piece up on it over at Geeky Girl Experience. So, that was my day today. The name of the article, just, even though this is coming out 3 weeks later, whatever. It's called A Couple Thoughts from Star Wars Resistance's The High Tower. And the first half, I just address a gripe that I have with Kaz as a character. And in the second half, I tell my theory about who I think the spy is. Mm. And it's not who you expect.
I'm going to have to watch those before I listen to those.
Yeah, so that's what I posted today on geekygirlexperience.com, which is my website. So if you want to go over there and check it out, I've started to do stuff over there. And if you hit the Ko-fi button, you can buy me a coffee. Yay!
Do it.
Yeah, do it. I'm poor. I'm saving up to buy a car.
Hope needs to be caffeinated.
Yeah, and Hope needs a new car. Hope is shooting to get a new car at the beginning of next year. Yay!
Well, why don't you sign up for the site that people can buy it, just buy you a car instead of a coffee?
No, I'm actually debating on doing Patreon for myself, but I don't know what any of my rewards would be and stuff. So I thought about that for a while now, which is people just donate how much they want a month to me. But I want to have more content under my belt because I've just recently relaunched Geeky Girl Experience, and I've only written like 2 things since my relaunch, so I want to have a little bit more content before I do that. So, because I mean, there's
okay, been a so we'll start followed. With some coffee then.
Work yeah, up to I mean, the there's car. Been a couple people I followed on Patreon where they're like, I have a Patreon, and I'm like, cool, and I follow them, and they're very active for a couple months, and then they haven't posted anything in 2 years, and I'm like, why am I still giving you my money if you haven't posted anything in 2 years?
Yeah, so, really.
I don't want to be one of those people. So. Oh, I had a good week. I posted a new chapter of my Thrawn fanfiction.
What chapter is it?
16.
Ooh.
I know. My character Kaya and Thrawn and Cad Bane are fighting for their lives because they're being hunted by Weequay pirates.
Fighting for their lives.
Yeah, I like writing battles. Even though they're really difficult to write, but I enjoyed writing a battle. All right, we should get into this. My reading time with Hope.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Hope, you don't want to sidetrack too often. You're sidetrack yourself into oblivion.
I know. I have 2 drinks and I'm ready to go. All right, I'm gonna start this off by a preface because preface. What is a preface? I'm gonna start this off with a little opening thingy.
A little preamble.
Yeah. Because we are going to be talking about post-Clone Wars material. This is material that either takes place during the time of the Clone Wars lore, or has taken place after it, or would have been turned into other things. I'm going to state right now at the beginning, we are only covering material tied to the current canon. There's just so much Clone Wars stuff in Legends, which is just not mine or Chris's forte in any way, shape, or form, that we would be doing these wrap-up episodes of Clone Wars forever and always because there's so many comics and books and video games and all that stuff. So all of this is the current Clone Wars Clone Wars material right now. There are several unfinished arcs. Some of them have been released on StarWars.com and some of them have not been. And some of these are unfinished arcs that have been talked about and stuff like Celebration and stuff. And these are stories that were written down but never made, or if they were made, they were unfinished. Some of them are not technically canon, but they could still be used in the future, so we're going to be talking about that as well. It will probably be next week's episode. Though a lot of, in these arcs, a lot of the higher-ups at Lucasfilms have stated that they treat these unfinished arcs as things that have actually happened, even if they're not in any media. And now, if you want to learn more about the Extended Universe Clone Wars material, I want to suggest 2 wonderful YouTubers that I use a lot. I used actually their videos several times while making this. And that's The Lore Master and Star Wars Explained. Both are really wonderful YouTube groups. I watch them almost daily. Well, I watch Lore Master when he updates, and I watch Star Wars Explained almost daily. I'm actually a patron for them. And they do just a really great job of breaking down both canon material and extended universe material. So if you want to learn more about them, I cannot recommend those 2 enough. This is very important. Listen, ready? We are going to be reading summaries of the novels. Well, I'm going to be reading summaries of novels while Chris listens with popcorn. And by doing that, there will be spoilers. Spoiler alert! I'm telling you now!
This is all this is basically is spoilers. It's a collection of spoilers. It's condensed spoilers.
Yeah, so we will be spoiling books and comics and sharing the plots with and sharing with you the plots so we can discuss them. And some of these include Clone Wars materials like Thrawn Alliances, Dark Disciples, Son of Dathomir, Kanan the Last Padawan. When we get into the pre-Rebel stuff, it's going to be stuff like Ahsoka, possibly Tarkin, but I haven't looked at it yet because I haven't done the outline that far ahead, and other stuff like that. A New Dawn is another one. So if you don't want to be spoilers, please stop listening to this episode right now, because you will be spoiled. And because, last but not least, because we might see the unfinished episodes for the Bad Batch, the Crystal Crisis on Utapau arc, and Siege of Mandalore in Season 7, we'll mention them in this, but I'm not going to share spoiler details about those ones, only because we still might see them.
Those might be episode or Season 7, I'm betting, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you the basic premise of the episode, like what the arcs are roughly about, but we're not going to go past that, so when we talk about it. All right, I'm going to take a drink.
There's the rules, everybody.
That's the rules, and I'll repeat that next week, because I think it's important. And hit the vape Gene's for
like
half.
Cranking this episode up to, like, triple speed. Got to cram in some knowledge.
You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
I know you are.
I've been ready.
Some background information. Clone Wars Legacy is a canon multimedia project that continues the story of the animated television series Star Wars The Clone Wars. The Clone Wars Legacy includes comic miniseries Son of Dathomir, 8 TV story reels, and the novel of Dark Disciple, all of which would have been released as episodes of the series if it had not been canceled. The Clone Wars Legacy will be followed by a revival of a 12-episode run set to be released from the Disney streaming service. According to Pablo Hidalgo, there was at least 13 arcs left of Clone Wars. Since the launch of Clone Wars Legacy, multiple books and comics have been released within the time period. All right, ready? I'm sure you are. Okay, I'm going to...
I am ready, yes. Indeed, I am.
First and foremost, the first one that we're going to be talking about is not set as part of the Clone Wars Legacy. The reason I included it is because it has a Clone Wars story. And of course, I never need a reason to talk about my blue husband, Thrawn.
Well, so it's first... also leading into Rebels, which will be hitting soon enough. So you got plenty of reasons to do this one.
I know, my baby.
And on top of that, it's our show. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to be discussing today the second book of the current Thrawn stuff, which is Thrawn Alliances. The first Thrawn book is set pre-Rebels, so I will be talking about that in the pre-Rebels episode. But for now, we're talking about the second book, Thrawn Alliances. Here we go. Thrawn Alliance is a canon novel written by Timothy Zahn. It is the sequel to the 2017 novel, Thrawn, and it was published July 24th, 2018. The story features Thrawn and Darth Vader on a mission shortly after the events of Star Wars Rebels Season 3, while a parallel narrative set during the Clone Wars features Anakin, Thrawn, and Padme Amidala. While planning the novel, Zahn wanted to write a story about Thrawn and Anakin working together, a premise he had introduced in Thrawn. However, Lucasfilm wanted a story about Thrawn working with Vader. Eventually, it was decided to write both stories in the same novel. An idea originally pitched by Zahn for the novel, but vetoed by the Lucas Story Group, was the inclusion of the 501st, leading to the creation of the First Legion. And I actually was listening to this a little bit on Star Wars Explained today. There's a difference between the 501st Legion and the First Legion. In the Thrawn Alliances, the First Legion is a group of stormtroopers that have been handpicked by Vader. And Timothy Zahn was explaining that the 501st was made up of clones, and Vader made a conscious choice to step away from the 501st because he didn't want things connected to Anakin Skywalker, which is why now we have the First Legion. Yeah, anyway. Now, here we go. For this podcast, I'm only going to be covering the Clone Wars side of the story for today. Since the Thrawn-Vader story is based between Season 3 and 4 of Rebels, I will cover that part of it when we get to Season 3 and 4 of Rebels, probably in that in-between period, because stuff. So, Clone Wars. I'm taking another drink. Here we go. Here's the summary of Thrawn Alliances, the Clone Wars side. During the waning years of Clone Wars, Anakin Skywalker journeyed to the Outer Rim planet of Batuu, which will also soon be a Disney park, everybody. And you can walk around Batuu and look at shit and stuff like that, and Hondo and Nock is going to be there, and it's going to be great. And it's set at the edge of the unknown regions to search for Senator Padme Amidala after she has been declared missing. Skywalker was told by Senator Amidala that one of her former handmaids, Duja, who's a fucking badass, by the way, had found something near Batuu that she and Skywalker should investigate. Duja was killed for this knowledge. Unfortunately, Skywalker was unable to join her due to being sent to battle. By the way, I should also really note that this takes place post-season 6 of Clone Wars. So this is post-Clovis arc, FYI. Skywalker allowed Padme to travel to Batuu by herself, because of course he did. Upon his return to Coruscant after the battle, Skywalker could find records of Amidala's travels to the Outer Rim. After another battle, Skywalker received a message that Amidala's ship had been found on Batuu. Arriving at Batuu, Anakin had his first encounter with Commander Mithron Nudorodo, aka Thrawn, on his own mission and agreed to form an alliance with the Chiss to find his missing wife. Thrawn fought alongside Skywalker, finding himself impressed with Skywalker's courage and cunning. Skywalker also found himself impressed with Thrawn, speaking highly of him to Chancellor Shree Palpatine when he returned to Coruscant. This is how Palpatine knew who Thrawn was in the Thrawn novel / comic adaptation. But that's just the Wikipedia entry. This is what actually happened. Some of these battles they fought included Thrawn shoving Anakin down into knockout gas because he just assumed Anakin would not fall into knockout gas. And of course, Anakin knocked himself out, and he woke up and Thrawn had been shot. And Anakin was like, "Whoa, you shoved me down in knockout gas." And Thrawn was like, "Yeah, bitch, I did. I thought you'd be smart enough to jump out of it, whore." And Anakin also at one point was using the Force to walk a dead body around because they were trying to trick the bad guys. And also the two of them got locked
creepy.
In...
That's creepy.
Oh my, it was so weird and unnerving. Also, the two of them got locked into a box. And they were just like, "Oh, we're locked in this box." So Thrawn, and this is how I knew this book was written by a man, ripped up part of his shirt to make a rope and to kill time. And I'm sitting here going, "Timothy's on. How shirtless is Thrawn right now? Why are you not telling me how shirtless my husband is right now? You suck." Not really. You're actually quite brilliant, Timothy Zahn. I love you so much. And then Anakin used the shirt rope to guide it to release them. And these boys are really dumb and they're adorable and they get under each other's skin and it's awesome. During their search for Padme, it led them to a planet. I'm so about to mispronounce this. Mokjiv. It's M-O-K-I-V-J. Mokjiv. Anyway, they go to a planet where they find their missing senator. There's also Cortosis mines that have been taken over by the Separatists, and they need the Cortosis from the mine to create B1 battle droids and B2 super battle droids at the Mokjiv droid factory somewhere else on the planet.
Cortosis sounds like a medical condition that you go in under surgery.
Mokjiv?
Going into Cortosis!
Yeah. Thrawn, Anakin, and Padme also found a Separatist creating clone armor. So the Separatist was using this Cortosis material to make clone armor. Thrawn deduced it could be used for a small-scale infiltration of the Senate building. Anakin and Padme didn't realize that this clone armor was being created for Order 66, since Cortosis also repelled lightsabers. Thrawn deduced a similar event to Order 66 could happen to the Jedi, but Anakin blew it off. The droid factory and clone armor was destroyed by Anakin, resulting in the Mokjiv catastrophe. Against Padme and Thrawn's warnings, Anakin, who just wanted to do his own fucking thing, set explosives in the Cortosis mines. But when they detonated, the Cortosis, which is a metal, was too strong to be destroyed by the blast, pushing the blast down into the ground. And it made a lava geyser set off, and it destroyed all the surrounding towns, the forest, and it blew ash into the sky for hundreds of miles. And Anakin's actions still affected the planet, now a wasteland. Years later, when Darth Vader and Thrawn revisited the planet again between season 3 and 4 of Rebels.
Whoops.
Also, side note, I know, and both Padme and Thrawn were just like, "Why are you doing this?" And
Sorry.
He's like, "I do what I want, guys!" What?
Sorry about your planet, guys.
It's actually really funny because they, like, Padme has befriended this one guy, and, like, they're watching this lava geyser just spew up and, like, destroy everything, and Anakin looks at him and goes, "Huh, at least you can be a bartender," and the guy literally goes, "Gee, thanks."
I would use much stronger words than "gee, thanks" at that point.
Yeah, "gee, thanks." Now, in his real mission, Thrawn took a shield generator because of the Chiss. Because the Chiss didn't have that kind of technology, and he was watching the Republic as a potential ally. Thrawn was unimpressed, however, with the state of the Republic. He believed it to be unfit, an unfit alliance with the Chiss ascendancy, citing that the Republic's democratic style of government created a bogged-down system where everyone had a voice but nothing was accomplished. He also questioned Padme about why they were fighting the Separatists in the first place. So what if the Separatists left the Republic? Why fight them? Why not let them make their own government? And Padme couldn't answer Thrawn's questions. There's also a really great moment where Thrawn looks at Padme and goes, "Why are you with this guy?" And she's like, I don't know. Like, she pretty much just goes, "I don't know why I'm with Anakin." And I just laughed. That's the Clone Wars side of Thrawn alliances. Yay!
Interesting.
Now, a little bit extra information, because I was at the Thrawn panel at Dragon Con. Originally, alliances was supposed to be Thrawn and Anakin looking for Ahsoka. But Dave Filoni, at the time that it was being written, couldn't release Ahsoka details to let Zahn use Ahsoka. So they used Padme instead. So that's my husband. Anakin blew shit up. Yay.
Yeah, that's weird. That's almost more like a Jar Jar sort of thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, I also just like the part when they were, Thrawn was pretty much like, huh, so if they're making your clone trooper armor and they, you know, like, could, and it repels lightsabers, what's stopping anybody from having it from walking into the Jedi temple and stopping you Jedi? And Anakin's like, that would never happen. Thrawn was like, okay, I pretty much just deduced Order 66, but whatever, bro. Have fun. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that was really interesting, like the kind of the side thing that you find out in Thrawn Alliance 2. And it's happening during this time, but it comes out during the Rebels and the Thrawn and Vader side of the story that I think could actually come to play later. Is Thrawn tells Vader that when he left the Ascendancy, which would be around this time, the Chiss was on the verge of a civil war. Like they were on the and out in the unknown regions. And I talked about this before on the show, but like if we don't know how much the Chiss have devolved since the Clone Wars time when they were on the verge of civil war, because if they have, my theory is some of them could join the First Order and aid them. That's just my theory. Just throwing it out there. But yeah, during the time of the Clone Wars, the Chiss are on the verge of a civil war, so it could be some things. It could be some shit. I think you'll like this next one, though. I think you'd like this next one, though, because it has Greedy.
Well, I was going to say, this next story gets more into the... Well, not that Anakin and Thrawn are dark characters, but they're not as heel-y as Greedy and Maul.
Alright, cool. Anyway. Wow. Next. I'm going to take another drink. Next, we're going to talk about Son of Dathomir. I've actually read this comic. It's a fun little read. So. Here we go. Background
now, these information. These are ones I'm probably actually going to read someday.
Yeah, so this was a 4-issue miniseries. Did I write that down? It was conceded as 4 episodes of Clone Wars. So the way I'm going to do this one is I broke it down into each of the 4 comics. So I'm going to stop after each part, and then we can talk about the part. Sound good?
Okay.
Cool.
It's almost like 4 different episodes.
Yeah. Hey, that's the first sentence. Son of Dathomir was initially conceived as 4 episodes of the television series Clone Wars.
There you go.
The team on Clone Wars did some design work for the episodes, and those designs, as well as the stories and the characters from the scripts, were incorporated into the comic miniseries itself. After the cancellation of Clone Wars in 2013, Lucasfilm decided to adapt 4 Darth Maul episodes into Son of Dathomir comic miniseries. Dave Filoni stated that he thought of an adaptation would be a good idea. Not only would it allow Lucasfilm to continue telling unfinished stories of the Clone Wars, but Filoni also knew that Dark Horse Comics had done great work on Star Wars in the past and would be well-suited to adapting those episodes. Filoni turned over the design and story work for the episodes to Dark Horse, which would allow them to create, in Filoni's words, an accurate representation of what the production team were planning for the show. Also, this is the only comic that's from Dark Horse that's considered canon, though last year it was re-released for Marvel, in case everybody was wondering. All right, issue 1. in the aftermath of the events of The Lawless, where Papa Palpatine came in and kicked Savage Opress's ass and killed him and then took Maul, Darth Maul has been captured by Darth Sidious, his former master, and imprisoned in the Spire, a separatist prison. Sidious is followed by Gar Saxon, who we actually see in Rebels. He is one of the villains of Rebels. And Rook Cass, two of Maul's Death Watch followers, on orders from Mandalorian Prime Minister Almec to free Maul from imprisonment. Fun fact about Rook Cass, for the longest time, people actually thought that was Sabine's mom, because we knew that Sabine's mom was actually loyal to Maul during this arc, but later, when we actually met Sabine's mom in Rebels, it turns out it wasn't true, but Rook Cass looked a hell of a lot like Sabine in the comics, so I just wanted to... Fun fact. Sidious speaks to Maul in the Spire and reveals that he still has use for his former apprentice, before the two are interrupted by Count Dooku. The arrival of Sidious's new apprentice angers Maul, who views Dooku as a Sith pretender and unworthy of the title of a Sith Lord. Three Siths walk into a prison. Sounds like a joke. Sidious and Dooku leave to confer with one another, as Sidious explains that he imprisoned Maul to draw out Mother Talzin, the leader of the Night Sisters, so she can be destroyed as a potential threat to the eventual Sith rule of the galaxy. Sidious also, I just want to call him Palpatine, Papa Palpatine. Papa Palpatine also reveals that he has a history with Talzin, from whom he received Maul when Maul was a child. Papa Palpatine orders Dooku to find out more information about Maul's Shadow Collective, as Maul will end up believing that the Sith want to destroy his army and seek out Mother Talzin for help. After Dooku briefly interrogates Maul, Cast and Saxon mount their rescue. The two Mandalorians reach their captive leader and free him from his restraints before blasting out the wall of the interrogation cell, which is actually a great part because they're on a mountainside and Maul's like, where the fuck are we gonna go? And they have to, like, zipline their way out. It's actually a really cool little scene. Maul and the Mandalorians, which would make a terrible TV show, make their way down... Actually, it might be a really cool TV show. Maul and the Mandalorians.
It sounds like the name of a band, too.
Like a wizard.
The Mandalorians.
Like a wizard rock band, rock being W-R-O-C-K, which I used to be totally in, but it's a Star Wars band. they make their way down the mountain via zipline. Hey, I wrote that down. That the Spire sits upon and escape aboard Gauntlet Fighters. Separatist forces led by General Grievous, a.k.a. Chris's boy, pursue the ship. While Dooku makes it clear that Maul is not to be killed, only weakened. That way, he can seek out Mother Talzin for help. With Separatist forces in pursuit, Maul and the Mandalorians reach Zanbar, which we saw during the Maul arc in Season 5. Once again in command of his army, Maul reclaims his darksaber and tells the Mandalorians that war is at hand. The Separatists arrive on the moon and launch all their forces against Maul. Death Watch is overwhelmed by the droid soldiers, while Maul faces Grievous in single combat, which would have been so cool to watch in the show. Just saying. Maul's army is left badly damaged, but Maul orders his fighters to bomb the area, taking out many Separatist forces as well. Maul escapes in the chaos and orders his surviving forces to retreat. After the battle ends, Grievous informs Dooku of what happened, leaving Dooku satisfied that Maul will seek to find Mother Talzin. End of issue one.
Yeah, while you were reading that, I looked this up on eBay. Because I was like, I want to read this. The original Dark Horses of them are going for a pretty penny. Number one,
I
the original
one.
Dark Horse is going for like $20, $30.
I have two of them. There's one that's the most expensive, and it's actually Maul's origin story. I think it's issue... Might be... It's either issue one or four, I'm wanting to say. It might be issue three. But one of them is more than the other ones because it's Maul's actual origin. When he was a child and Palpatine took him as a child, you actually get to see baby Maul getting his face stroked by Palpatine. It's really creepy. But yeah, I mean, the original Dark Horse ones are pretty penny.
But the Marvel collection is going for like $8 or $10. So it's, you can still get it cheap, but boy, yeah, it's good to see that there's like, some of those Dark Horse comics are becoming sought after. I like seeing Star Wars comics being doing well.
Me personally, I would have given anything to see a fight between Maul and Grievous.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
That would have been just that's freaking amazing battle.
Completely natural impulse you have there, Hope.
Yeah. Yeah, boy. And to continue to follow the Darksaber game, it's back with Maul now. We started that game, I think, when we first saw the Darksaber with what's his butt? Pre Vizsla. And now it's with Maul, and then Maul lost it, and now it's back with Maul. Follow the Darksaber into season 2 of Rebel, whenever it shows up in Rebels, I forgot. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's just Sidious being a bitch, and Dooku's being a bitch, and Maul ziplining out of things. Do you have anything else to add?
Not really. I'm sort of getting obsessed with seeing these because it's getting these because it's just like, oh, these could have been like these are missing episodes.
Yeah,
most of the stuff I wasn't too hot on, like knowing about, but this is totally, you know, this is totally in my. For one, it's a comic book, and I'll read Star Wars comic books. Way more like liable to do that than read one of the books. And that it's basically going to be lost episodes of Clone Wars. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's filled with Mother Talzin, Grievy, and Dooku and Maul. It's all filled with the best. Simply the best.
Yeah, and I've read some of Dathomir. It's a very quick read. Actually, the Marvel collection is fun because they have like a little. I can't remember the guy's name.
It takes less time to read one than it would be to watch it as an episode.
Oh, yeah. I read it maybe in like 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. But it's fun. I don't remember the guy's name, but he does Calvin and Hobbes. There's like a chibi
Watterson,
Calvin and Hobbes.
Bill Watterson.
Yeah, I don't think it's him, but there's like a chibi Maul story in the Marvel reprint that's done of him, and he's just like, I'm wearing my costume.
Yeah, no, there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, who did Star Wars, little Star Wars cartoons in the Calvin and Hobbes style, but I don't think it was actually Bill Watterson or the whoever the Calvin and Hobbes guy was.
Yeah, so. All right, issue 2?
Part 2.
All right, here we go. In the retreat from Zanbar, Maul contacts Mother Talzin for guidance, just as Sidious and Dooku intended. Talzin uses Night Sister magic to speak to Maul from afar, and anticipates that the Sith want to lure her into a trap, because she was always ahead of them, and that's what I liked about her. Refusing to play along, Talzin sends Maul to Ord Mantell, without her, where he is to regroup with his Black Sun's allies and prepare for another battle with the Separatists, one where Maul can capture Dooku and Grievous. Once on Ord Mantell, Maul confers with his allies and informs them of the impending battle. Meanwhile, Dooku and Grievous prepare their own strategy en route to the planet. Maul and his allies plan to lure the Separatists to a specific point in Ord Mantell City, where the Mandalorians, Black Suns, and Pike Syndicate will engage in an attack against the invading droid army. A team of Knight Brothers, led by Brother Viscus, who we saw in the Clone Wars episode, Monster, as the leader of Savage Opress's village, arrives on orders from Mother Talzin to reinforce Maul's army. As Maul greets the Knight Brothers, the Separatists begin their attack, using their fleet to bombard Ord Mantell City. The Shadow Collective begins to carry out their defense, while the Separatists deploy their droid forces on the surface. Once there, they are met in battle by limited but powerful numbers of the Shadow Collective troops, Mandalorians, Pikes, and Black Suns alike. Meanwhile, Count Dooku arrives with a number of droid guards, where Maul leaves the surface and makes his way to the Separatist fleet. He and his ships attack the Separatist command vessels, where Grievous realizes that the Separatists have been lured into a trap. On the surface, Dooku is confronted by the Knight Brothers, and a duel ensues between the Sith Lord and the Dathomirian warriors. The droid army advances on the Shadow Collective, and Maul takes Maul's forces into custody, while the renegade Sith Lord himself continues his space assault. He and the Mandalorian warriors board the Separatist command ship and take General Grievous into custody, and they force the Kalish cyborg to disable all battle droids on the surface. The disabling of the droids allowed the Shadow Collective forces to regroup and capture Dooku. Maul contacts Mother Talzin to tell her what has happened, and she promises that, with Dooku and Grievous in custody, Papa Palpatine will soon be captured and they will fulfill their quest for vengeance against the Dark Lord. What? So, issue two. The thing about this is I remember when we did the episode Monster, and one of the biggest things we kept questioning was, especially, and also I think it was Massacre, but we called it Massacre, and Monster and Massacre, we questioned both times, like, what happens to the Knight Brothers? You know, we don't really go back to them. And then in Massacre, we're like, are they free now? What is happening?
They just wandering around going, is somebody going to bring us some food and water?
Yeah. So I was happy, like, in the comic that Brother Viscus and the Knight Brothers showed up again, because that was, like, one of our big questions about what happened to them. So I'm happy that we got to see them again, because we know that, like, Mother Talzin was still in contact with him. So that was the coolest part of this section to me.
Well, you know where Ord Mantell comes from?
No.
Well, first it comes from the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back. There's just a line where Han Solo says, you know, is talking to Princess Leia, and he's like,
yes, Your Highness.
I thought you had decided to stay.
Well, the bounty hunter we ran into when Ord Mantell changed my mind.
But they made, there is an actual record, book and record set out there called Rebel Mission to Ord Mantell came out shortly after Empire Strikes Back. That is probably the best of the, you know, Star Wars kiddie book and record sets. Yep, just a little bit of trivia. You can go to YouTube and do a Rebel Mission to Ord Mantell. You can watch that story.
And now that I'm looking at it, it's popped up in 3 episodes of Forces of Destiny.
Ah,
I know.
Wow. Yeah, Rebel Mission to Ord Mantell had a neat cover on the book, if I remember right. It had a neat, very different looking spaceship. But that was one with I believe, Luke and Leia and R2 and 3PO and Han Solo.
Yeah, but again, this is just like continued scenes that would have been awesome to see in battle, to see like,
yeah,
Maul taking Grievous into custody and him being like, shut down all the battle droids, and Grievous would have been just like, fine.
Just like to see Grievous getting taken into custody.
Well, we saw that, but it was Gungans. We know that Gungans took Grievous into custody.
Right.
I did see recently, it was Grievous summarized in 2 pictures. And the first picture was him going, kill the Jedi! And the second picture is him just hacking. You know, like Grievous in a summary in 2 pictures. Yeah. But, yeah, that's all I really have for issue 2.
Alright.
Alright. Issue 3?
Yeah.
Alright. A team of Jedi arrive on Ord Mantell to investigate the aftermath of the battle and recognizes the connection between Darth Maul and the Mandalorians once they discover a Death Watch helmet. Wet Blanket Windu contacts Papa Palpatine to inform him that Maul was behind the battle. And Papa Palpatine was all like, oh no, I know nothing about this. And Windu hopes to use this information to capture Maul and Dooku and use their captures to end the Clone Wars. Wet Blanket Windu then speaks to fellow Jedi Obi-Wan Kenobi, Tip Lee, and Aya Sakura, and together they surmise that Maul may have headed to a Mandalorian asteroid outpost. Fearing that Mandalore could fall into the Separatists, Kenobi volunteers himself, along with Tip Lee, to investigate the outpost. Meanwhile, on the Mandalorian outpost, Maul contacts Papa Palpatine and informs the Dark Lord that Dooku and Grievous have been captured. Sidious tells Maul to kill them, for he has no use for what he sees as failures. Maul instead orders Grievous to be taken into custody. As he does so, the Jedi begin their approach towards the outpost, and Tipley fears that Kenobi will be unable to keep his emotions under control since, you know, Maul killed his girlfriend, Satine, just recently and stuff. And Kenobi assures his fellow Jedi that he will not fail. As the Republic approaches, Maul offers Dooku a choice. Become an ally or die. Mother Talzin appears in a cloud of magic and smoke and reveals that she too was once betrayed by Papa Palpatine, that Darth Maul is her son. As Talzin explains, Papa Palpatine is even now working to find a new apprentice, and Dooku is like, a new apprentice to replace me? Oh, good. The Republic assault on the outpost begins, and the Republic ships make their way through the gauntlet fighter fire towards the base. Grievous uses the chaos to make it to an escape pod, because of course he did.
Of course he just runs and jumps into the pod. You can see how he does it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He does his little roll right in there. Just
he's like, this is my pod. Pew! And runs away. While Dooku agrees to join Maul and fight against Kenobi's boarding party, the Jedi arrive on the outpost, where Kenobi and Tipley are confronted by Maul and Dooku. They engage in a lightsaber duel, which is then joined by Wet Blanket Windu and Sakura. Dooku kills Tipley, while the Mandalore shoot a small missile towards the Jedi, incapacitating them. This gives Maul and Dooku time to escape. In the aftermath of the battle, Wet Blanket contacts Palpatine and informs him of what's happened. The Jedi Master also speculates that the battle proves Dooku is a Sith Master, an incorrect assessment that Palpatine, the true Dark Lord, allows the Jedi to believe.
I don't know if we've even seen Dooku kill anybody up to this point, you know?
I feel like we have.
I mean, we might have some peon or something, but, like, usually, like, the best he's, cut off Anakin's hand and, like, beat up Obi-Wan and stuff like that, but...
I don't know if he's killed anybody major. I know right. He's killed, like, people, but Tipley was...
Certainly not a Jedi at this point.
Yeah, Tipley was the sister from the Fives arc. You know, they had the two sisters with the wavy hair, and the one was killed by Tup. She's the other sister.
Oh. So they didn't make it too long.
Yeah, they had a very short Clone Wars life, because that was the beginning of what would have been Season 6, and this is, like, the middle of
let sisters join the Jedi Order.
I also just like Palpatine's like, oh, you guys think Dooku is a Sith Master? Yeah, sure, that sounds right.
Sounds good.
One of my notes is, of course, Grievous jumped into an escape pod and got the hell out of there.
It's all he knows how to do.
Fight, cough, and run. The other note, though, is there's been a couple times, and we saw it a little bit in this last season, where Dooku is starting to realize that Palpatine's trying to replace him. And, like, Palpatine has even said, I think it was the Yoda arc where he was just like, I don't know how the Sifo-Dyas thing happened, but you need to fix this because I'm not happy with you and you're replaceable. And Dooku had this line of like, oh shit, I have to get my hands dirty. And this is just, like, another time that where Mother Talzin was like, Dooku, you're in the process of being replaced. And we always say that Dooku is a stooge, and he is a stooge. But we know that he has also trained apprentices in the past, like Ventress and Savage. So I don't know. I just feel like Dooku, I don't really know how to put it, like, is not quite... I feel like they're kind of Padmeing Dooku towards the end of Clone Wars, because he has to be for Episode 3.
Right.
Because, like, earlier in the show, like, when he was training, like, Ventress and Savage, he was like, you will be mine, and we will take on Sidious, and we'll be the master and the apprentice. But towards the end, everyone's like, you're going to be replaced, and Dooku's like, that's fine.
He's pretty obviously a stooge, you know? I think they figure it out.
Yeah. But the Jedi are still down, because they're like, he's the Dark Master! Because, yeah.
He's a good patsy, because he looks the part.
But now that I think about it, like, Yoda knows that there's two, because he saw in his visions both Sidious and Dooku.
Yeah.
So I guess they're assuming that Sidious is the apprentice, Yoda is aware that he's the master.
He is now, yeah, as of Season 6.
But this is also later in Season 6 after that, and Windu is like, oh, Dooku's the Sith Master now. Do they really know, or did Yoda just not share that with them?
I don't think Yoda was sharing it with him.
Yoda, with your secrets. Just because Qui-Gon told you to keep a secret.
Yoda likes his secrets. Mm-hmm.
Just because Qui-Gon told you to keep a secret doesn't mean you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I have for Issue 3. So you want to wrap this puppy up?
Polish it off. You got a lot of reading to do, Hope.
Oh my god, we still have Dark Disciple coming up. Jesus fucking Christ.
Get some lozenges ready.
Oh, yeah. All right, Issue 4. In the aftermath of the Galactic Republic and the Jedi assault against the Shadow Collective, Darth Maul races towards Dathomir with his Death Watch allies, as well as Count Dooku, who had claimed to join Darth Maul's vendetta against Papa Palpatine. While en route to Dathomir, Maul is contacted by Zidan Moij of the Black Sun, a member of the Pike Syndicate. Having lost the moon of Zambar and the planet of Ord Mantell, as well as the supply outpost, in their fights against the Sith, the two allies have become worried that Maul's plan is failing, and that the fight has become against his former Sith Lord's personal vendetta against his own. That the fight has become the former Sith Lord's personal vendetta against his old master. Maul assures them that they will be paid, and that once Sidious is defeated, the galaxy will belong to the Shadow Collective. Maul then orders Gar Saxon to keep the Pikes and the Black Sun in line. Meanwhile, Maul tells Dooku that he knows the Sith Lord is not a true ally, and that Dooku has been told by Sidious to play Maul's game. Maul then has Dooku taken into custody by Rook Cast. Once on Dathomir, Maul speaks to Brother Viscus, who survived his encounter with Count Dooku during the battle. And Viscus tells Maul that the preparations have been made for the next phase of their plan. The Night Brothers take Dooku before Mother Talzin, who appears in a cloud of smoke and begins to unleash a magic attack against the Sith Lord. Meanwhile, the Sith Infiltrator arrives in orbit, carrying both Grievous and Papa Palpatine after tracking Dooku's location to Dathomir. Sidious orders Grievous to jam the Dathomirian communication and cloak the ship, allowing them to arrive on Dathomir undetected. Maul and the Night Brothers do not see the ship coming and continue with their plan, as Talzin uses her magic to draw the life force from Dooku so she can use it to physically manifest herself again. Just like she tried to do to the Bardot and Queen with Jar Jar's girlfriend.
Yeah, this Dooku's such a stooge, man. Such a stooge.
But, you know, that was one of our gripes about the Jar Jar arc. We were like, well, what exactly are they doing? And like, why are the Bardotas with the Force? This explains it. This is what Talzin's doing. She can't take a physical form without sucking the Force out of a person. So this actually explains it. So thank you. As Maul explains, Talzin's physical form requires a great sacrifice, and they have chosen Dooku to make that sacrifice. As the process continues, an explosion rips through the area, and Grievous and Papa Palpatine appear before Maul to confront him. Sidious reminds his former apprentice that there is only one plan that matters, the plan of Darth Sidious to rule the galaxy. As they speak, Moj and the Pikes contact Cast and inform her that the Separatist armies have begun attacking them. The Shadow Collective allies demand to know where Maul is, but Cast says that he is not their concern and that they are to fight the Separatists. On Dathomir, Mother Talzin takes control of Dooku's body, and she and Maul engages in combat against Sidious and Grievous. Talzin fights the Dark Lord of the Sith while Maul attacks Grievous. Sidious quickly gains the upper hand against Talzin, demanding that she releases his apprentice. Sidious bombards Dooku's body with Force lightning before Talzin releases Dooku and appears in a physical form again. Cast, meanwhile, continues speaking with the Black Suns and the Pikes, who inform her that they are pulling out of the Shadow Collective, leaving Maul on his own as Separatist fleet emerges from hyperspace over Dathomir. Maul continues his fight against Grievous, pushing him out of the way of the battle. Sidious once again unleashes lightning against Talzin, while Talzin herself sends a torrent of magical energy towards the Dark Lord. Maul pleads with Talzin to take his strength, but as Dooku enters the fight with his own lightning attack, Talzin tells her son to retreat without her, even if it means her own doom. Talzin uses her magic to telekinetically throw Maul away from the fray, and he is pulled away by Cass and another Mandalorian warrior, but watches as Grievous returns and uses his two lightsabers to fatally stab Talzin through the chest. With his Shadow Collective in tatters, Maul and the Death Watch flee from Dathomir. Sidious, Dooku, and Grievous overlook Talzin's body, while Dooku regretfully says that Maul has once again escaped. Sidious is not concerned, however, as everything transpired as he intended. Maul's future as a Sith rival has been destroyed, while the Sith has taken another step into securing their own future. And then Maul goes on to make the Crimson Dawn in Solo, as we see, and then comes back in Rebels, the end.
This would have been a pretty exciting episode to watch.
I know. I mean, Grievous gets to kill Mother Talzin.
It's kind of, yeah, sort of, but she's, you know, you see her again in Rebels, sort of, or at least ghosts of type stuff, but
you don't actually see her specifically. She did,
but it basically is like the last episode of the Jar Jar and Wet Blanket arc, but just like hypercharged with all the bad guys just beating on each other. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's got everybody fighting each other. It's like a little kid with his action figures out. It would have been great.
And there's just, like, so much, because, like, as I was reading that, which is why I added the end about Solo. I mean, because it's the Death Watch that take Maul and take him away. And I would not be surprised if they're the people who help him make Crimson Dawn for Solo. Like, they are the people who stuck with him. And we know that the only thing I'm not sure about is Gar Saxon. Because Gar Saxon, we know in Rebels, is working for the Empire, which is Papa Palpatine. And he would know that. So there is at some point where Gar Saxon left Maul to work for Palpatine.
Yeah.
And that would have been like a little interesting transpiring thing. But at the same time, Maul gets stuck on the planet where Twilight of the Apprentice takes place, the Sith planet. So I could see Maul like leaving to go do that and get stuck there. And Gar Saxon was like, well, fuck it. I'll just serve the Empire then. There's so many Rebels and Solos and fun things. Oh my. This is what I love about this, like, multimedia canon where everything's actually connected to each other. Because, like, when you see it all together in one solid, like, timeline, it works so well.
It's pretty solid, yeah.
It's solid, and, yeah, I mean, I said it before, but, like, right now I'm, like, really reading, like, my first EU stuff. And it just, I feel like I'm just jumping into unknown waters of not really quite knowing where everything is. But like with this, I know where Maul is, I know where he's about to be in Solo, I know where he gets to in Rebels. Like this I know. And it's so just straight and streamlined and wonderful, and I love it. Do I have any leftover candy from Dario?
Dario recorded a show with Dario. He's got a lot of candy for us in the freezer, so we might have to freezer our candy. He's probably going to send it to us pretty soon. I guess he's got a lot. I guess his minions have been adding to the pile, so.
I'm eating a Rolo.
Clear some room in your freezer.
I'm eating a Rolo right now. So yeah, that's some of Dathomir. Do you have anything else to add to it?
No, I had an unfortunate incident with my Rolos.
Oh my god. These are old.
They're old, but they taste a little dry at first, but then they taste pretty good. But one of my Rolos Roloed onto the floor underneath my chair and got mashed into the carpet.
Oh.
Yeah.
My Rolo, I just needed something to coat my throat that wasn't liquid. All right. Ready to move on?
I am.
All right, so next, these are the two unfinished arcs that are on StarWars.com. Like I said in the beginning, I'm going to tell you the premise, but we're not going to tell you details. Because there are, like, details in the game. You read all about them and watch them, but we don't know that they're Season 7. So, I'm just going to tell you what it is, and we can do a brief discussion. So, the first is Crystal Crisis on Utapau. Crystal Crisis on Utapau is the unfinished arc of the animated series of Star Wars The Clone Wars. The episodes were released on StarWars.com as a story reel on September 25th, 2014, as part of Clone Wars Legacy. Despite being incomplete, as the series was canceled before the episode could be finished, it is still considered official Star Wars canon. The story reels were also released on Blu-ray for the Season 6 of Clone Wars. The basic summary of Crystal Crisis on Utapau is Obi-Wan and Anakin investigate a mysterious death of a Jedi Master on Utapau and uncover a secret separatist weapon, weapons deals like the which they have never seen. This weapon is powered by Kyber crystals.
Bum, bum.
And what else does Kyber crystals? The Death Star. Bum, bum, bum. And then a fan from Celebration, during Celebration Anaheim, a fan asked the question, in the Utapau arc, was the Kyber crystal used to power the Death Star? And they said that was the intent, but the story has yet to be told. So this official thing isn't the actual crystal that is used. It's kind of like the more early steps of it. So, all right, next. Unless you have anything to talk about for Utapau?
Nope, not really.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's just like summaries. There's not much to say because we're not into the spoiler land.
Though, I have to say, this next one, I do have a couple things to say. The Bad Batch. The Bad Batch arc was originally intended to be premiered for Season 7. The episodes were screened in a story reel at Celebration Anaheim and was released on StarWars.com shortly after. The script was by Brent Friedman, and it was the first in a four-part story arc focusing on a ragtag unit of clone commanders, clone commandos, Clone Force 99.
Yeah,
Yeah, and they actually call 99. In the episode that had 99, they said that he was a bad batch. Yep.
Yep.
Anyway, summary. Rex, Cody, and Clone Force 99, an unorthodox elite squad known as the Bad Batch, look to recover the Republic strategy algorithm from Admiral Trench, the big spider guy that you like that I don't like.
He's like cyborg spider guy now.
Yeah, but a haunting truth awaits. Believing that the missing in action soldier Echo, a member of the original Domino Squad with fives, Echo hasn't been seen since the Citadel, may still be alive. Rex's mission becomes doubly important. Alongside Bad Batch and Anakin Skywalker, the clone captain launches a dangerous covert mission. You know I would have been all over this fucking shit.
Oh yeah, this would have been a Hope episode top to bottom.
Yep.
Top to always shiny been. Little clone bottom.
So something that's fun, at Celebration Anaheim, they released some artwork from Bad Batch that didn't get used. And the Bad Batch clones, they have a gunship. You know how like a lot of the clones put art on the side of their gunships?
Uh-huh.
This would have been a pinup picture of Padme. And I think it was Brent Freeman. I don't know for sure, but like Anakin sees it and like looks at Rex, and Rex is like,
I remember you sending me that picture when you got it. I remember seeing that picture.
And Rex was just like, I'll get it taken care of, sir. So I do know a little bit about this arc, even though I haven't watched it. I kind of looked into it a little bit. And so the thing that was interesting about this one, that the Bad Batch are purposely mutated clones. They're made from like some of the last scraps of Jango's DNA, and they're different from clones that we're seeing. So like they've been modified to either be stronger or like smarter so they can use tech better, or they have like a particular trait that our regular clones are like Rex don't have. And you actually see one of them in the season 7 trailer that was released at Comic-Con. It's
some,
that scene.
Some Hope catnip there.
Yeah, so that was a big reason why I'm like, they're doing Bad Batch season 7. Because there's if you watch the Clone Wars arc, like after they show all the clone helmets exploding, there's a scene that swoops down and you see Anakin and Rex walking out of a hangar. There's a third person with him, and that's Hunter. He's one of the Bad Batch clones. So this is why I'm very sure that they're going to be doing Bad Batch in season 7, because you actually see Hunter there with them. So, but yeah, this would have been. I can't wait. If they don't do season 7, when we go back to StarWars.com and watch it, I still can't wait for it. I'm so excited. Do you have anything to add?
Now we're getting more into the stuff. We're coming up on more stuff that Chris just ain't interested in.
Really? Dark Disciple?
Novel.
Oh, but it's so good. Wah, wah. I read it. I cried through the end of it. I cried, Chris.
Okay.
I'm feeling.
Sorry.
But
I hope you didn't get the pages of the book all warped and smeared.
No. But you like Ventress, right?
I do.
Well, we're about to find out what happened during Clone Wars.
I got nothing wrong with all the characters that end up in the novels. I just can't do it.
I understand that. So, Dark Disciple?
Dark Disciple.
This would have been a major arc. Dark Disciple is a canon novel starring Asajj Ventress and Quinlan Vos, written by Christine Golden, released from Del Rey on July 7, 2015. Quinlan Vos was the dude Jedi in Hunt for Zero, just to remind you. The one with the dreadlocks, and he's like, dude, Obi-Wan, bro! And they were like, oh, and Cad Bane's like, how
right.
Do you take both your
he
asses?
He was the stalker Jedi.
Yes. The novel is part of the Clone Wars Legacy multimedia initiative, since it's based on 8-part episode story arc that was scripted for Clone Wars. Compromising of the episodes, Lethal Alliance, The Mission, Conspirators, Dark Disciple, Saving Vos Part 1, Saving Vos Part 2, Traitor, and The Pact. The scripts were not produced as the episodes prior to the show's cancellation. The novel includes a foreword by Katie Lucas, one of the writers of the original episodes, and skews towards adult readers.
I wonder how Katie Lucas would have done as in writing some of the novels.
That's true. I actually would really like to read her stuff.
I would be interested in that. Because I got the history with Katie Lucas from the show.
Yeah, I mean, she did a lot of the Asajj Ventress episodes and the Night Sister episodes. So, like, I'm not surprised that she was. No, she did a lot of the
stuff we really liked.
Yeah, so I wasn't surprised that she was actually pinned some of the episodes that got turned into Darker Disciple.
I think, didn't she do, whatchamacallit too, though?
That was not very specific one.
Yeah, I know. the one with the father, the brother, and the sister.
Yes, the one, the Final Fantasy one that you liked. On the train with all the bounty hunters?
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, Mortis.
The Mortis arc, right? She did that, right? Oh, I don't
think she did Mortis, no. That was Matt, I think that was Matt Michnovitz. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Mortis arc.
Okay, well, good up on Katie Lucas, then.
I think I remember that it was Matt Michnovitz, because I was like, I don't understand how he wrote an episode I hate so much, and then he wrote the Krell arc.
Well, Katie Lucas was always kind of fan fiction.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Christian Taylor. He wrote Mortis, so Matt Michnovitz.
But she was always on the edge of fan fiction, and like Mortis seemed like one where she could have maybe just gone over the edge. But good, I'm glad she didn't write Mortis.
She did the one with the lovers on the train, so it was like Boba Fett and Ventress, and they were tasked with protecting this, and Ventress realized it was a girl that they were keeping her, and she helped the girl go back to her tribe.
That one, yeah, that was the one with Poison Ivy and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, Dengar was in it and stuff, so...
Yep. That was fanficky, but actually fun, so...
Yeah, because I think you called it Final Fantasy but good or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, like Son of Dathomir, this is broken into parts, so I'll stop between parts and we can talk about it.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, I am. Oh, I'm ready.
All right, so part one, and there'll probably be parts where I'll stop and just be like, and this happened, because I just copy-pasted this from Wikipedia and there's just parts of it, it's just like it doesn't fucking matter. So, in a Republic refugee ship, fleeing Maharani, fleeing a planet, Jedi General Chubord pleads with Count Dooku, by hologram, to allow the refugees to escape. After revealing that he knows that the conversation is being broadcasted to the Jedi Council, Dooku orders the ships destroyed, killing all the refugees. The attack on the ships attacking fleeing the planet, because I can't pronounce that name, was witnessed by the Jedi Council. This pushes them to a morally questionable decision, as suggested by Wet Blanket Windu: assassinate Count Dooku, thus ending the Clone Wars. Master Kenobi suggests Quinlan Vos for the task, despite being against the decision. Master Vos, disguised as Tau, foils a black market operation on this one place, with his fellow Jedi, Akar Deshu, often called Desh by his friends. Desh is a kind of a big character in this, so Desh.
Yeah, so they have to say his name a lot, so they don't want to write out Akar Deshu every time.
So they just call him Desh.
Yeah.
While returning to Coruscant, they receive news of the Separatist attack on the refugees, and a message from Kenobi requesting that Vos attends a meeting with the Jedi Council. At the meeting, the Jedi Council briefs Quinlan about their plans to assassinate Count Dooku. Vos accepts the mission, but insists that a companion accompany him. Master Yoda recommends Asajj Ventress as Vos's partner. In the end, Vos reluctantly agrees to the mission and promises to get in touch with Ventress. Following the meeting, Vos travels to Coruscant Level 1313, which was also a video game that never got made, to inquire about Ventress's whereabouts. At a seedy bar, the undercover Jedi meets several bounty hunters who are acquainted with Ventress, including Bosk and Boba Fett. Fett reveals that Ventress took a job on the planet Pantora, chasing down Volpi, a Volpi fugitive named Moregi. Using this information, Vos travels to Pantora, where he stumbles upon Ventress's hunt. Due to Quinlan's arrival, Moregi manages to escape. After a tense reunion, Vos and Ventress join forces to capture Moregi. Later, Vos meets up with Ventress in her starship, Banshee. There, the undercover Jedi pose as a wannabe bounty hunter who was interested in partnering up with Ventress. Believing that Vos has potential to become a bounty hunter despite his irritating behavior, Ventress reluctantly agrees to accept him as a partner. Vos spent the next 2 weeks aboard Ventress's Banshees, training and conducting several hunts together, usually involving underworld contacts and outlawed targets. On one occasion, Vos saved Ventress's life by using the Force to knock the blaster out of a Weequay target's hand, allowing Ventress to finish him off permanently. All right, this is the part I'm going to sum up. So they're given a task to help save... Oh, no, wait. Is this a... So they finish a job, and they were like, great. And Ventress was all like, I'm going to bait the fugitive using my lady charms. And they do well, and they get a bottle of whiskey, and they drink it together. And while they're drinking, Ventress and Boss is all like, hey, Ventress, how are you awesome and stuff, and you're hot. And Ventress was like, I ain't telling you shit, bitch. And then they begin to develop feelings for each other, and Boss is just like, oh, God, feelings. I don't know how to do this. I'm a Jedi. So they find out that there's another mission, and Ventress is just like, I'm going to go get my ship fixed. I'll meet you up with a few minutes. And Boss goes to meet with Kenobi, and Kenobi is like, dude, how's it going? And Boss is like, nothing. I don't have feelings for her. It's fine. And stuff. And Kenobi is just like, just get her to hate Dooku. It's fine. And then they take a mission. And it's from the Pike Syndicates, because the Pikes keep popping up. And now that Maul's Shadow Initiative is not around, the Pikes and the Black Suns are fighting because Maul's not there to keep them in check. And the Pike leader, he has lost his wife and his two children. The Black Suns have taken them. So he's tasked Ventress and Voss to go save the wife and the two children. So they go. I'm not even reading this anymore. I'm just summarizing now from the top of my head. So they go to this planet, and there's lava, and they sneak in. And they save the kids, but they can't get to the wife. And as they're running away on these, like, animals that can run across lava, the little boy falls out of Voss's arms, and he uses the Force to save the little boy and pulls him back. So they put the two kids in the Banshee, and Ventress is like, bitch, I'll be back. So she goes back in, and she saves the wife, and she brings him back. And they're all like, yay! And then they take the wife and the kids back to the Black Suns. But after they get all their money and stuff, Ventress and Voss are leaving, and they see the Black Suns arrive at the Pikes. And the Black Suns are like, bitch, we hate you. And the Pikes are like, we will fight you. And the Black Suns pretty much take out the Pikes' place. And Voss is like, oh, no, that sucks. We need to help them. And Ventress is like, bitch, we got paid. Let's go. It's not our problem anymore. And they leave. That's the end of part one. There was just lots of names and places that didn't matter, but that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The only real note I was just like, the moment that Maul's not there, all the Shadow Collective people are trying to kill each other now.
Now, this is more that would have been episodes, right?
Yeah, these are all from episode scripts. You actually, there's a couple unfinished parts, unfinished reels that you can watch on YouTube of Voss meeting Ventress. And they're really funny because they're just like blocks running through streets.
Right, but, they're like someone holding their two action figures next to each other and shaking them.
Yeah, but with actual like voiceover and stuff. They don't have their original voice actors voicing them over, but there is voices. So you can actually watch the reel of Ventress and Voss meeting as she is chasing down Moregi.
So it's sort of like, hi, Ventress.
Hi there.
Whoever is voicing Ventress gets her, like, battle rah, really good. Because at first I thought it was her, but when she actually is talking normally, I'm like, that's not Nika Futterman.
That's some intern.
So, but yeah, these were actually episode scripts.
It's pretty crazy. I have a feeling, I have to think that maybe they made him a little more, they added a little more to him since they were books, you know? They could load some more story into him.
Yeah, and the book is geared towards adult audiences.
Right.
So, like, there's probably stuff, like, they probably wouldn't show them getting drunk together. And, like, in the next part, we'll be talking about adult relations.
Nice.
So,
and so they wouldn't have added Jar this time.
Yeah, so they probably wouldn't have added that into the episode. Though, from what I've gathered, some of these is actually, like, what happened to Quinlan in the EU. Some of the parts that I think, like, later in the book, how Quinlan's story advances, it actually happens to him in the EU as well, especially in the comics, which I have a note about that at the end, so. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, it would have been... I just keep jonesing of like, can we make it in the episode?
Stalker Jedi's gonna get some, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's the Jar Jar of the book. But But I feel like a lot of the little things, like the touch of like level 1313, we know that that was a game that was never made because we saw it in the arc that Ahsoka was running from the cops. She was on level 1313, and they used a lot of production designs that didn't get used in the game.
Well, Mustafar is also the lava planet is from episode 3, too, where Anakin
gets... Oh, we are on Mustafar. I guess I should have mentioned that.
It's where Anakin gets his legs lopped off, so yeah, it's got some historical value to it.
Yeah. So I'll talk a lot more about Mustafar when we get to the pre-Rebel stuff from the Darth Vader comic, so there's some cool stuff with Mustafar that's happening right now in the Darth Vader comic. I'm actually really sad because the Darth Vader comic only has like two issues left, and then it's done and complete. It's not going to be complete by the time I finish by the time we get there. So I might have to touch base on like the final couple issues later on because it's capping off on issue like 25, and right now it's on issue 23, and they just haven't released those last two issues, so I don't have a complete thing for my pre-Rebels content. I'm just like, damn it, so close, but so far.
Write Marvel and see if they'll give you a little preview.
No. I'll have to wait like everybody else. But that's all I really have to say about the first part.
All right. Part two, is this like the second part of the book?
You just broke it into four parts. Yeah, I broke it into four parts because I felt like it was easier.
Yeah, well, it makes it like episodes of the show.
Yeah. So they just felt like the good places to break the episode up, so. All right, part two.
Part two.
Burdened with the guilt of unable to protect the family they just rescued, Quillen Voss revealed that he was a Jedi to Asajj Ventress. However, Ventress already was aware of this fact since she had witnessed him use the Force powers to save himself and the child during the earlier escapade on Mustafar. Voss also told Ventress that the Jedi Council has sent him to kill Count Dooku, and also wanted him to enlist Ventress's support. Having coming to respect Voss and seeing an opportunity to strike back at her old former master, Ventress agrees to help, but warned Voss that assassinating a Separatist leader would not be possible without tapping into the dark side of the Force. Later, Voss informed Kenobi of this new development in the assassination plot. However, Kenobi cautioned his fellow master to be wary of Ventress's manipulative nature. Since still, Quinlan insisted that he could trust her for the moment. To begin Voss's training to the dark side, Ventress took him to her adopted homeworld of Dathomir, a planet strong with the dark side of the Force. While in Ventress's company, Voss learned about her background, including her enslavement, her apprenticeship to the stranded Jedi Knight, Kai Narek, her subsequent apprentice and falling out with Count Dooku, and the loss of her Night Sister's comrades. It's actually a really cool scene because they get here and like Voss is like, these are cool things hanging from trees. And she's like, they're bodies. And he's like, oh God. Oh God, okay. And everything's like ashes and shit. It's actually really sad. I lost my spot because I vamped off. During his discipleship, Voss developed a romantic relationship with Ventress, but struggled to avoid fully embracing the dark side of the Force, but they did have sex.
I was just going to say, does that mean having... was that a euphemism for having sex? But I guess
not. They do... It was a cut to black scene. Like, they start kissing, and then it's like, next scene! But they were all smitten like kittens afterwards, and they were really cute and like holding like very romantic and holding hands, and like he like makes food and she's just like, that's nice, kill this lizard. It's really awesome. In an effort to drive Voss closer to the dark side, Ventress claimed that Dooku had murdered his later master Thorm, when in reality she had been the real culprit to kill his master. Under the tutelage of Ventress, Voss underwent rigorous training regimen that was designed to expose him to the Night Sister culture while simultaneously boosting his strength, endurance, fighting spirits, and force powers. Later, Ventress received word from
and his being in touch with his feminine side.
Yeah! It's actually funny, like, there's a part where he's his just like, this is really hard. She's side. Like, yeah, he's like, there's a part where he's like, this is really hard. And she's like, Night Sister, little girls do this, like, every day. And he's like, oh, God. Later, Ventress received word from one of her informants that Dooku was planning to visit Raxus. As part of this final trial, Voss had to kill the Sleeper, a near-extinct crustacean creature that inhabited a series of pools near the former Night Sister village. Despite his initial hesitance, because it was one of the last of its kind, Voss managed to kill the sleeper and pass the trial, completing his dark side training. The cool thing about that is, like, the sleeper is almost sentient, so it's, like, talking to him, not quite talking to him, but kind of warning him, like, you don't want to do this, mind trick on you, and he's just like, I don't want to do this, and the sleeper's like, fine, don't do it then. He's like, but I got him! And he stabs it, and then and he actually, like, feels the pain of it dying. It's a really cool scene. After Voss failed to meet up with his prearranged level 1313 bar, Kenobi met with Master Yoda to discuss his fear that something wrong has happened with Quinlan. Yoda assured Kenobi that Voss has undergone many undercover missions and knew what he was doing. Sometimes it was necessary to tread through a dark path in order to better appreciate the light side. Meanwhile, Ventress and Voss travel to Raxus, where they meet up with her informant, some guy. Voss is horrified when Ventress kills some guy in order to prevent any secrets from leaking about their mission. The two hunters then make their way into a very public large square where Dooku gives his patriotic speech to a large crowd. The Count is accompanied by a separatist military leader, General Grievous. Chris's boy.
Yay!
I should just call him Chris's boy. After the speech, the two part company while attending a large public feast. Ventress takes the opportunity to sneak up on her. Okay, so the cool thing about this part is that they're pretty much sneaking into a fancy-ass party that Dooku is throwing, and there's all these rich people here. And Ventress is like, well, we gotta look rich. So she, like, gets this, like, really cool dress, and Voss has a moment being like, damn, you're hot. And she's like, I know, you'll get a seat on the floor later. And he's like, oh, tee.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's a really cool design, though, because they actually released a photo of Ventress's dress on StarWars.com, so, during one of the celebration panels and stuff.
Was it on her, or was it on the floor?
It was on her.
I know.
It's a really cool design, though. She looks really nice. And she has, like, really cool hair in this, too. Like, they gave her, like, an undercut and, like, a flopped-over mohawk. She has a really cool design. What would have been a really cool design. Where am I? At the fancy party, she sneaks up on her Master Dooku, who is mingling with the crowd. Unwilling to cause a public disturbance, she challenged Dooku to meet her in an overlook for a fair fight later that night, which I never understood. Just shank him there and be done with it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Why not just, like, walk up behind him, put the lightsaber through his back, and walk away. Bye, everybody.
It would have probably alerted the crowd, and people would have been like, oh, and they would have to escape. That was my only thing.
Oh,
but, like,
so what?
Just shank him and go. It's called Episode 3, Chris. He can't die now.
I know.
Dooku agreed, and the two split up. In secret, however, Dooku secretly contacted General Grievous and instructed him to meet him on the Overlook with reinforcement. Before Grievous can join the Count, Quinlan attacks him and overpowers Grievous and his battle droids. At the Overlook, Ventress and Voss engage Dooku in a lightsaber duel. After Dooku manages to knock out Ventress by hurling her against a stone bench, Quinlan attacked the Sith Lord, who taunted him about his flirtation with the dark side. Following a fierce duel, Voss is defeated by Dooku, who incapacitates him with Force Lightning. Grievous arrives with droid and reinforcement to apprehend the intruders, but Asajj managed to escape into the sewers. Meanwhile, Quinlan was taken prisoner by Count Dooku. Yeah, just stab the bitch!
Yep, just run him through, have it. It would actually be very dramatic for the people there, and what are they going to do? You take out Dooku, you take out the roughest, most dangerous person there, so...
Yeah.
And, oh, you scare a bunch of rich people. Ooh, they call the cops. Ooh, you're long gone. You're Quinlan Voss and Asajj Ventress, you know?
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
The one part of this I actually really would have loved seeing, because, like, Quinlan's training on Dathomir is actually several chapters. God, it's been like 2 years since I've read this book. But it's like two or three chapters. And it's all just Night Sister lore. Just like learning about how their culture works. But because like he's an outsider coming into it, it's very accessible to the reader. Because we're learning about Night Sister lore as he's learning about it.
Right.
It's actually like a really cool series of scenes that I would have just loved to have seen in the show.
Like the kung fu part of it.
Yeah.
Where he gets accepted by the kung fu master. Mistress.
That's true. It probably been in like a 30-second montage. We probably would have seen that much of it in the actual show because it's 22
right,
minutes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure they were able to flesh it out a lot more in the books.
I know, but it just, everything like with the sleeper was just like so cool, and it was actually probably one of my favorite parts of the book. I was just like, yes!
Yeah, back in the old days when people didn't have VCRs and stuff, they had to novelize whole TV series. You know, all the Star Trek TV shows got their own, like, novelizations because you couldn't just go out and buy the season and put it up on your shelf.
And now they do that with Star Wars movies because that's how we know so much about the Rogue One people.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't enough time to stick it in the movie. But that's all I have for part two.
All right, part three. Oh man, you're getting near the end of this week.
Yeah,
hang in there, Hope.
Ooh, almost. My throat hurts. Part three. In Separatist captivity, Quinlan Vos was transported to Sereno, aka Count Dooku's Palace of Crib.
The spicy planet.
Palace of Crib. There he was locked in a cell where he was tortured by Count Dooku, who also intended to complete Voss's journey to the dark side. Back at the Jedi Temple, Voss's Jedi colleagues became worried about his safety and feared that he had perished or strayed from the light side. Meanwhile, Ventress traveled to a cantina on Tatooine, where she enlists the help and support of several bounty hunters, including Boba Fett, Bosk, Lots Radzi, who you call Poison Ivy, C-21 Heisinger, and Imbo!
Imbo!
Imbo! I love him! Oh, I love Imbo! For a mission to rescue Quinlan. Back on Sereno, Dooku managed to turn Quinlan Voss's boss against Ventress by revealing a hologram showing that she had murdered his late Jedi Master. Dooku's version of the event... Oh, this is important. Something I cut out. Quinlan has the ability to touch items and to see their past.
Yeah.
It's actually one of his like specific Force abilities that he has. So he can, like, touch an item and actually see the actual pass from it. So, he uses this ability. I lost my spot. Dooku he uses his ability touching his late master's lightsaber, and Quinlan is like, that bitch! Shortly after, later, Asajj and her bounty hunter allies arrive on Sereno to rescue Quinlan Vos. As part of their plan, the bounty hunters stage a diversion by attacking Dooku's battle droids. Meanwhile, Ventress made her way to Dooku's palace, where she encountered a vengeful Voss in his cell. Enraged at Ventress for lying about her role in his master's murder, Voss attacked the Night Sister with his lightsaber. Ventress tried to reason with her former disciple by telling him not to let the dark side dominate him, reminding him about their mission to kill Dooku. And he's also like, she also has a moment, she's like, but you have feelings, we have feelings for each other, and Voss is like, no, bitch! Unable to rescue Voss, Ventress was forced to retreat with her bounty hunter colleagues. As they left, she caught a glimpse of Voss walking with Dooku, showing that he'd become Dooku's newest Sith apprentice. Distraught, Ventress travels back to Coruscant, where she informed Kenobi about Quinlan's fall to the dark side. Then for the next few months, Ventress pined her time by taking on various bounty hunter jobs. Struggling to cope with Quinlan's rejection, Ventress turned to alcohol.
Oh.
Meanwhile, Voss...
I didn't see that coming.
Meanwhile, Voss became Dooku's new right-hand man in the Separatist hierarchy and gained the nickname Admiral Enigma. And pretty much, like, it's just a terror. It's like Darth Vader just walking into Rogue One. Like, they just send Quinlan to just go places and murder people, and the Jedi are like, shit. At some point, Asajj is contacted by Quinlan Jedi's comrade Desh. Remember Desh? We were like, oh, his friend Desh. Who has been dispatched by Kenobi to bring her to a Jedi Council meeting to discuss the matter of rescuing Voss from the Separatists. The Jedi Council has obtained intelligence that Admiral Enigma was last sighted on a dreadnought. In return for recovering Quinlan, the Jedi offer to pardon her against her crimes against them and the Republic. The inclusion of Asajj was a controversial among some of the Jedi, particularly Windu and Skywalker. However, Kenobi and Yoda stood up for her. Ventress agreed to the deal and took part in the rescue mission. Following a struggle with Dooku and his battle droids, Ventress and the Jedi rescue team managed to free Voss from his cell in the brig. Ventress found an emaciated half-naked Voss hanging from a set of shackles. While Voss's Jedi companions were relieved to rescue their comrade, Asajj had seen Voss's eyes with a flash of fury and realizes that he has fully embraced the dark side. Ventress attempted to attack her former lover, but is restrained by Kenobi. After freeing Voss, Ventress and the Jedi escape the Septus Dreadnought aboard her starship Banshee. After rescuing the Jedi, after returning to the Jedi Temple, Ventress was formally pardoned of her crimes by Yoda. However, the news was bittersweet for Ventress, since none of the Jedi believed that Voss had changed sides with the Separatists. Voss attempted to reconcile with Ventress, but she rebuffs him. It's really sad because he's like, "Baby, I didn't mean it." And she's just like, "Fuck you. You left me for him." And he's like, "I don't love Dooku. I love you." And she's like, "Whatever." Meanwhile, Skywalker discusses his suspicions about Ventress with his secret wife, Padme Amidala, pot calling kettle black. Still suspicious of the former Darksider, he suggested that Ventress had seduced Voss to the dark side and expressed skepticism that she was capable of showing love. Pie calling kettle black, Anakin. Yeah.
It seems like she would be more capable of showing emotions of any kind more than a Jedi anyway.
Yeah, like, hell. Like, she is not a Jedi told to swallow his feelings every day, Anakin.
So Quinlan Voss was just sort of like a mini Anakin there.
Pretty much, yeah. The way it goes down is Dooku corrupts him, and then for like 2 or 3 months, it's just carnage. And the Jedi cannot stop him. And they at first they didn't know who Admiral Enigma was, and then they got reports that it was Quinlan, and they were just like, oh shit, oh god, we have to bring him back. And if I remember correctly, it was like, we either bring him back to save him, and or we bring him back to kill him. Because he just can't do this.
Remember when one of our questions was whether Ventress's redemption was going too quickly? Boy, mm-hmm. Oh boy, it really goes forward in this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a big thing is that she's pardoned for her crimes. And that's like a huge thing for her. I mean, she gets a completely new clean slate in this with just a new open future. But she's
it's like
they're
recruiting their own bounty hunter Jedis now.
Yeah. Pretty much. And it's just, it's so sad because and she loves Quinlan and they're so sweet together. And then he's all like, bitch, you killed my husband, you killed my master. And she's like, yeah, I did, but I was evil then, but I'm better now.
My job.
And then killed like,
a
when
lot
they
of
actually, and when they rescue Voss, yeah, and when they rescue Voss, Kenobi is like, he's back. And Ventress is like, no, he's evil. You have to believe me. I'm sorry. And they're like, no, Ventress, he's not evil. And she's like, I would know, bitch. I know better than any of you. And
I would have just said to Quinlan Voss, hey, you would have killed Dooku, right? When he was my master, so come on, man.
Yeah, so.
Lighten
that's
up, man.
Yeah, I mean, she would know better than anybody of like what Darksiders look like. It's just they're so stupid and don't listen to
them. Darksiders.
Yes, good.
They're dark-sided.
But,
dark-sided.
But that's all I have for part 3.
Gonna finish it off?
Let's finish.
Part 3 almost sounded like the end of it.
No, there's one more big part. I'm about to have feelings, guys. Lots
I guess
of feelings.
Stuff, yeah, stuff must happen in this part. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear it, Hope.
So something I forgot to mention here is that there is a little passage of time before part 4 where, like, they've been helping Voss get back to normal and, like, the Jedi have been, like, getting him back to that, so. While Quinlan's Voss's Jedi comrades debate in private whether he has come to the dark side, Voss and his Jedi comrades take part in a mission to steal medication, weapons, foodstuff, and ship repair parts from a Separatist asteroid base. For this mission, Voss is accompanied by his friend Desh, Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, and Clone Commander Cody. However, the Separatists had already booby-trapped the asteroid with explosives. Voss and his Jedi and Republic comrades manage to escape, but all of the supplies are destroyed. Following the failed mission, Voss meets up with Asajj Ventress in a Coruscant bar where he affirms his love for her, and he forgives her for killing his master. He promises to formalize this relationship with her after helping the Jedi destroy Count Dooku. Like, he pulls the Kenobi with Satine, where he is just like, if you ask, I will leave the Jedi Order. Only this time he goes, I will leave the Jedi Order as soon as I deal with Count Dooku. And she's just like, Later, Quinlan takes part in a mission with Kenobi, Skywalker, and Cody to destroy a Separatist listening post. However, upon arriving there, they discover that the station had already been abandoned. Meanwhile, Desch visited the site with a former Separatist asteroid base and discovers evidence that there was a traitor within the Jedi ranks linking information to the Separatists. Suspecting that these two incidents are not coincidence, Yoda arranged for a private meeting with Voss and was able to sense that he has indeed fallen to the dark side. Yoda discusses his finding with his fellow members of the Jedi Council, who hatch a plan to test Voss's allegiance by sending him on a mission to kill Count Dooku, because the first time went so well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Send him to his master.
Kenobi is instructed to watch over Voss and execute him if his true loyalties are revealed. After receiving his assignment, Voss informs Ventress of this new mission to kill Count Dooku. After some arguing, Voss agrees to allow Ventress to accompany him. At the Jedi Council briefing, the Council agrees to allow Ventress to accompany Voss on his mission after she revealed that Dooku would be traveling to Christophsis. Together, Voss and Ventress travel on the Banshee to Christophsis, where they discover Dooku's dreadnought among the Separatist fleet. Meanwhile, Skywalker and Kenobi tail Voss from a captured Separatist shuttle and manage to infiltrate Dooku's dreadnought. After boarding the dreadnought with the help of reprogrammed battle droids, who are always lovely, the two Jedi witness Voss engaging Dooku in a lightsaber duel. However, Voss fails to kill the Count and instead forces Dooku to lead him to a mysterious master, Papa Palpatine. Realizing that their suspicion about Voss's loyalties have been confirmed, Skywalker and Kenobi have little choice but to arrest Voss and Dooku. After capturing the two Darksiders, Kenobi and Skywalker bring their prisoners to the Star Destroyer Vigilance. Despite Commander Cody's best effort to secure the prisoners, Voss tricks Desch, his friend, into approaching him and steals his lightsaber, and then he uses it to free himself and Dooku. During their escape, Voss kills his former friend Desch. Voss and Dooku escape with Ventress aboard the Banshee, because Ventress is like, what the fuck is happening, Voss? And he's like, come on, future wife. Ventress attempts to land the Banshee on Dooku's dreadnought, but the Vigilance gives chase and succeeds in damaging the ship. As a result, Ventress is forced to crash land the Banshee on Christophsis. Kenobi and Skywalker and several clone troopers probe the wreckage of the Banshee and deduce that the fugitives have survived. Meanwhile, Ventress, Voss, and the seriously wounded Dooku navigate across the crystal cover landscape of Christophsis to reach the nearby Separatist base. Kenobi secretly contacts Ventress and informs the former Night Sister about Voss's fall, and she's like, bitch, I know! I told you, like, 4 months ago. He also instructs her to convince Quinlan to surrender, or they will kill him. When Ventress confronts Voss about this revelation, he convinced her that he is close to completing his mission, but does not disclose what that mission is. Meanwhile, Windu orders Kenobi and Skywalker to execute the fugitives. Ventress, Voss, and Dooku finally arrive at the Separatist base, built into a giant crystal pillar. There, they receive word that Darth Sidious wants to talk with his apprentice, Dooku. During the brief hologram conversation, Dooku pleaded with his master to send a ship to Christophsis to evacuate him. However, Voss fails to learn about Sidious's true identity. Shortly later, the Separatist base is bombarded by Republic clone troopers. Despite Windu's orders, Kenobi still insists on getting the fugitives out unharmed. Despite Anakin's objections, the former master and apprentice venture into the Separatist base to find Voss and Dooku. During the Republic bombardment, Ventress is badly wounded by artillery fire and falling debris. Voss helps his wounded lover up as they attempt to follow Dooku and complete his mission. Meanwhile, Anakin and Kenobi order a ceasefire in order to sneak into the fortress and kill Dooku. Back at the fortress, Ventress confronts Quinlan about his fall to the dark side and alignment with Dooku. After some hesitance, Voss confesses that this was true. Shortly later, Dooku attacks Voss with force lightning. However, pretty much what he did, because I don't think I noted here, Voss on purpose fell to the dark side to be close to Dooku to try and kill him. But he purposely fell to the dark side. However, in a selfless act of sacrifice, Ventress shoves Voss away and took the full force of Dooku's attack. Dooku then attempts to goad Quinlan into killing him, but Voss refuses to give into the dark side and affirms that he is a Jedi. While Voss reconciles with Ventress in her final moments before she dies, Dooku takes the opportunity to escape. And Ventress dies in his arms, and he's all like, I loved you, and I would have married you, and she's all like, I know, I love you too, and then she dies. Following the events in Christophsis, Quinlan Voss surrenders to Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker, who brought him back to Coruscant. There, in the presence of the Jedi Council, Voss confesses that he had embraced the dark side and joined Count Dooku in order to use Dooku to get to Darth Sidious, thus eliminating the two Sith Lords once and for all. He accepts all responsibility of all the crimes and damage he has committed under Dooku's service and for killing two of his Jedi comrades, Dashin and some other guy that I didn't talk about. Voss also defended the late Asajj Ventress for bringing him back to the light and giving her life to save him from Dooku. During the hearing, Kenobi spoke out that this was the folly of the Jedi Council to have considered using a tactic of assassination to eliminate Count Dooku, since it only led one close to the dark side. He also defended Ventress as a friend of the Jedi. She's a friend of a Jedi. Following the proceedings... Shut up, I have feelings. Following the proceedings, Voss was pardoned for his crimes against the Jedi and the Republic. Kenobi also accompanied Voss to Dathomir to bury Ventress. Together, the two Jedi led the Night Sister to rest in a dark pool near the abandoned Night Sister village. As Ventress's body enters the waters, the pool turns green. And I'm just going to read the final page of this book. Here we go. Kenobi was beside himself immediately, his lightsaber unlit but in his hand. Voss, what's happening? Slowly, incredulously, Voss understood. His heart ached with bittersweet joy. Listen, was all he said. Kenobi's eyes widened, and he heard it too. Now, the whispers of a woman's voice. The Force had reclaimed Dathomir's wayward child, and Voss reached out in it to send the woman he loved a final farewell, and he thought he could make out a single word. Sister. Asajj Ventress at last had come home. The end! Feelings!
It seems very unrealistic to me that they would pardon him for murder.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I have... Like, when he was Admiral Enigma, he just, like, slaughtered. Like, Darth Vader in Rogue One, slaughtered.
Yeah, it's like, send him to prison. Don't maybe not execute him, but he goes to prison forever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he purposely fell to the dark side as a way to get close to Dooku and Palpatine, and purposely chose to join them and killed people for a mission that was not approved by them.
If you choose to believe his story, too, that, you know... Once someone falls to the dark side, are you going to believe any? Oh, yeah, I just did it to try to kill. And, by the way, he didn't kill Dooku or Palpatine, so.
Wow, I mean, yeah, and, like, that's kind of a thing. Like, there's a few times where it's kind of unsure. Like, when he comes back from the dark side the first time, there's actually a few points where a couple people are like, are we sure? Okay, I guess we'll send him on a mission with Kenobi. Fine, yeah. That's fine. But, like, the whole time, it's just, like, Ventress is just like, he's in the dark side, bitches. Don't. Just let him go. But it's so nice because, like, there's a point where, like, he is just like, you know, I love you, and I'm doing this for our love. And Ventress is like, don't. Do it for, like, don't do it. I don't care how much you love me. Just don't do it, man. Oh, my God. It hurts my feelings, though, that, like, she was returned to the darks, to her sisters on Dathomir, and it hurts my soul.
Back into the pool with you.
To go back into the Force juice.
Yep.
It hurts my soul, Chris. But yeah, that's the end of Asajj Ventress.
Probably pretty nice in the Force juice, I would bet.
Yeah.
I would like to hope so, like a hot tub or something.
But that's the end of Ventress's story in Clone Wars. That would have been her ending.
That would have been pretty dramatic.
Yeah. 8 episodes. That's the thing, because I feel like the novel went to so much. That would have been 8 episodes of Clone Wars. How would you have felt to watch that entire thing for 8 episodes?
Yeah, that's like 2 movies worth.
Do you think this would have been good for 8 whole episodes? But my thing is like it makes sense with Ventress. She has been a mainly Clone Wars character the entire time.
They probably would have done it as 2 separate arcs, right? I imagine.
I'm not sure about that.
It wouldn't have had to be particularly 8 right in a row. It could have been 4 and 4, maybe?
That we don't know. The only thing is that I can't see is that, like, Ventress has been in Clone Wars the entire time. But with Quinlan, he's only been in 1 episode of Clone Wars. And as, like, a main, like, person. And so to have them, like...
By the end of 8 episodes, you'd be well enough
into his character, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting... I guess it's kind of like Barriss in season 5, where it's like we have this turn and we haven't seen her in so long. But the difference is Quinlan would have had 8 episodes. Barriss only had
like
one.
It's like 3.5 hours worth of
Quinlan Vos, goodness.
Yeah, video. Yeah. So, yeah, you could have done it.
Yeah. But I just have a few quick little things to clean up. So at Celebration Anaheim, when they released a lot of like the story reels and like the photos from this, they had new concept art for Quinlan Vos, and Dave Filoni said that he tried really hard to blend elements of the EU into Clone Wars, because a lot of this, like him falling to the dark side and becoming Dooku's apprentice, was from the Clone Wars EU comics. Like, it was actually a story arc that they used. And another sketch was they showed like Ventress and Quinlan Vos together, and Lucas was really happy with Ventress's development, because he always liked Ventress, but he didn't like that she was Dooku's apprentice. So he really wanted to engineer a story to get her out of that situation, so where she wasn't Dooku's underling, she was her own character. So that right. was George Lucas's work. And the only other note was Lucas really liked Quinlan in the comics. He had read him in the EU comics, and he liked them, so he wanted to develop Quinlan more as a character. So those were the cleanup notes.
Now I'm just seeing George Lucas sitting on the can reading Dark Horse comics.
Wow, that's interesting. Because these comic book people really know what they're doing. Yeah. Whoo! I did it. You wanted this to be under 2 hours. I did it.
You did it. We're halfway through.
Halfway through. We're halfway there. Living on a prayer. We have 10 minutes. Do we want to start the next bit? No.
No.
No. You wanted this to be under 2 hours, and it render it so good. Yeah. And my voice
hurts. Save your voice, Hope.
Yeah, and there's a lot to talk about next week, because next week we're going to finish up the post-Clone Wars stuff. So we're going to talk about a lot of the unfinished episodes, like the Cad Bane Bounty Hunter arc, and the Kashyyyk arc,
yay,
and Rex and R2's Top Gun. But the other big thing that we're going to be talking about is Kanan the Last Padawan, issues 1 through 12. But we're going to be talking about the Clone Wars side of the story. This is what Kanan, as we all know, is one of the main characters of Star Wars Rebels, and they released 12 issues of Kanan, and it's his backstory of all that. So we're going to be talking about the Clone Wars side of that too next week. So, and a lot more reading for me.
Great comics, though.
Those were my favorite comics, probably until the most recent Darth Vader comics, which kind of took that seat, because Charles Soule, just what he's doing with Vader, is fucking amazing. So we'll finally, oh my god, we're officially wrapping up Clone Wars next week, officially.
Yep.
Ooh. All right, Chris,
sort
where can
of,
people
but
find?
We still got Tartakovsky, Hope.
Well, we do, but that's like for official Clone Wars
yes.
stuff. Well, all right, Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That's our podcast full of, or that's our website full of podcasts. Blah, blah, blah. You can also find most of the actual, like, Two True Freaks action with actual people talking to each other. It happens on Facebook, on our Two True Freaks page, where we post all our episodes, and on the Two True Freaks Cantina, where we go to shoot the shit. And, of course, we have to have a Twitter presence, because God knows everybody's got to be on the goddamn Twitters. And that, luckily, is not run by me. It is run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
I was trying to do something new. All right, we're going to go back to the classic.
Gene.
I would try and do something new when I failed. I'm sorry,
so much
Gene.
Easier for me anyway. But he runs that, so we don't have to. And, yeah, check it out. Check it out. All right, where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at Jagath and Jedi. I run our Twitter account. You can also find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter. I'm also a fanfiction writer on Archive of Our Own, or AO3 for short, where I write a Thrawn fanfiction called Forces of Gravity. I talked about it a little bit at the top of the page, at the top of the podcast. I also
the top
recently,
of the page.
Even though, yeah, I also recently did a bunch of different series. I was invited by my buddy Jana, who is a Bodhi Rook cosplayer, actually. She's actually one of the people, when we did our Rogue One commentary and I was reading the feedback, who was just like, Kathleen Kennedy needs to see this because Bodhi's important. That's her. She invited me to do to participate in Sniper Pilot Halloween. Sniper Pilot is a ship of Cassian Andor and Bodhi Rook. And they did 13 days of Sniper Pilot Halloween, and it was just a series of prompts, and I wrote a story called Abandoned. It's a little short story about Cassian and Bodhi waiting for an informant in an old church, and Cassian falls through the floor and down into a dark tunnel, and he has to contemplate his life as whether or not he may be rescued. So I recently wrote that, and I wrote a series of little one-shot fan fictions, a part of a story, a series of stories called 14,000 Things to Be Happy About. So that's, my name's Chaos City. I've read so much, my voice is just like, you're done! I'm also on geekygirlexperience.com.
Geekygirlexperience.
Oh, God, where I've written two articles about Star Wars Resistance so far. Buy me a coffee, because I'm poor. My voice is done. My voice is like, you're done. Oh, guys, sorry for reading so much. It's fun. Next week, though, actually, it will be more commentary, because with the unfinished episodes of Clone Wars, they're just snippets. So there will be less reading for me until we at least get to Kanan.
Yay.
Yay. By the time this episode goes past, it'll be well past Halloween. But happy Halloween, Chris.
Yeah, happy Halloween, Hope, and Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yay! And that means our streams are coming up, our commentaries.
Yes.
And we're doing Tartakovsky, Clone Wars, and the three original trilogies, right?
I think so. Yeah, we haven't done any commentaries for the original trilogy, did we?
No, we were doing original trilogy this year.
Oh, that's going to be so fun.
Actually, you know what the fun thing is? Because me and my stepmom are almost done with Clone Wars. And the other day, she was just like, you know, I've only ever seen the first Star Wars movie, the original first Star Wars movie, and I've never seen the rest of them. And I know how much you love Star Wars, so maybe we can watch all the Star Wars movies when we're done with Game of Thrones. And I was just like, yes!
She'll be in for such a big treat for Empire Strikes Back, though, never having seen that. Oh my god.
Yeah, we're going to watch them in chronologically. Like, well, we might skip episode one. I'm still debating whether or not we should skip episode one. Just letting
me... It'll be interesting to see her reaction.
Yeah, but so I'm thinking episode 1, episode 2, episode 3. I might possibly do one or two Clone Wars arcs just so she gets an idea of what happened. Sure. I'm still debating that. So maybe like episode 1, episode 2, Clone Wars movie, maybe one or two Clone Wars arcs. Episode 3, Solo, Rogue One, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
What was I just going to say? Oh, by the time we're doing our commentary on Empire Strikes Back, will be about almost the same time that I'm going to see the symphony do the whole score to along with the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
So that should be fun.
So I'm very excited to do that with my stepmom.
It'll be a very Empire Strikes Back New Year's for me. That's going to be pretty awesome.
All right, Chris, my voice is shot. I'm gonna go.
All right,
you guys, we officially wrap up Clone Wars next week.
For real this time. For real.
Yay! Well, until season 7. All right, you guys, see you next week. Bye. All right.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Test, test, say duh.
Duh.
Good luck.